chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm your host, Deborah Miller, and this is a little bit of a departure for Side Dish today, but I have around my table today Linda Conklin, who is the manager of Alumni Career Services at UNC, and I welcome you to my table.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, we met earlier last week. I had opportunity to visit with Linda and getting some career tips, and in the course of that conversation, you mentioned that you taught a course in business etiquette. Now, I want to get to that because that Side Dish listeners will really enjoy hearing about that. But golly, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and from there had 12 moves till I ended up in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I've been everywhere, I think, all over the United States, and also had about a year and a half in Beijing. So that was...
Well, you can really learn your manners there, can't you?
Yes. And always learn how to use chopsticks.
You know, I learned. I just am not good at it. So have you always been in career counseling, coaching area?
No. Like many coaches, I've had a longer journey. I have an undergraduate degree in business. I've worked doing corporate training for most Fortune 500 companies and a variety of subjects. And then from there went to outplacement counseling and worked for a firm there for several years. And then the market started to change. And I said to myself, you know, what do you know more about than most people? And because of all those moves that I had, I had had many opportunities to reinvent myself. And in the early days, probably did everything wrong, like most of my clients, and learned a few things along the way, which I felt would be very helpful to share with my clients. And so that's how I ended up at UNC doing career coaching for our alumni and helping people to continually to assess where their strengths are, how they can repackage them, reinvent themselves as the economic climate changes. And as we know now, there are a lot of people looking for jobs, and they're not necessarily the jobs they had before.
Well, no, that's why I came to see you and got some great tips. Were you a believer in the what color is your parachute back when that came out? I mean, I certainly read it. I don't know why.
Good. Most people have never gotten through it. That's part of the problem.
There were exercises in it and stuff. And I think I did it because I was trying to figure out what my path was, because my path was never really clear to me because I had too many interests. And I think, you know, I'd rather have too many than none. But you never really know, I think. It's sort of hard to pick because food was always a big interest and music was always a big interest. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and that sort of sounds like your creative side there. I always look for sort of a common thread. What is the thing that runs through your life? And for me, it's always been some form of education, whether I was a mom working with my kids, or whether I was doing outplacement, or corporate training. I was always in a role of teaching people to do something. And actually in this role, I am teaching them to find the right job, the right time. And that comes basically from understanding yourself and what you have to offer and then being able to market it effectively.
Well, so just for understanding's sake, if you're a member of the General Alumni Association at UNC, one of the many benefits of being a member is that you have access to you and your expertise. And do you have a staff?
No, I don't.
No, staff of one.
It's just me, but I have an infrastructure. So I have people that are helping with the marketing and with the databases and the billing and the social media and things like that. But it's just me doing
the
coaching.
Aren't you busier than you've ever been?
I have been busy since I started 15 years ago.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
So the economy has not changed how busy? I guess maybe you're seeing more of the same things, like me, older.
I think it's gotten more challenging, particularly in the past when a company would close down or something like that. There'd be a lot of, in my early days in this business, I worked for when Glaxo Burroughs Wellcome merged. And a lot of the people that left there simply went off and started small businesses and things that were offshoots of that. And that had been the case for a long time, where if people were let go from a major company, a lot of them just went off and started something else. But now that's become much more difficult because it's harder to get the financing to make that happen.
Well, so one of the things that, we talked about, and we're going to have to go to the break before we dive too deeply into this. You mentioned, as we sat after our meeting and we sort of were just visiting with each other, you mentioned that you gave the business etiquette, dining etiquette, and that you taught students and families had brought you in. Gosh, how did that come about?
That actually got started very early in my career here at UNC. We have a student membership program that's part of the General Alumni Association, and it's to help students to experience sort of leadership in action while they are still students as part of the Alumni Association, and they become our ambassadors after they graduate, and we've got some really good people well trained out there. But one of the things that we realized is that even though our students are coming to a very fine institution of learning, that a lot of them haven't had a lot of experience in the business world, certainly, but just even in the world in general. You know, we sometimes do a mixer and sort of a bingo kind of thing, and it says, you know, you can check the box if you come from a town that has one traffic light. There's a lot of folks that's their reality. And so a lot of them, you know I didn't grow up going out to dinner a lot. That wasn't the way my family operated. And I think a lot of people don't have that. Plus, the fact that the family icon of the microwave these days,
right.
You know, lots of times we don't sit down as a family and have a meal. So it's really important to understand those rules. So I created this hands-on dining experience to go through the rules of etiquette to make sure that our alumni will at least know what they're doing when they go out there.
Well, so is it required?
I mean,
it's a sign-up kind of, and you give it once a semester or?
I give it once a semester for our students, our undergrad students, but I also do it for most of our professional groups, the law school, school pharmacy, social work, those sorts of things. And then I also have been invited to come to some of the companies in the park to work with their sales forces.
Oh, well, we're going to have to go to break in a second. When we come back, we're going to find out what those things are, and you can ask yourself, am I still doing that? And maybe you need to call Linda and and have her come to your house or your group and give a session. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the rules that your mother taught you, or maybe your mother didn't teach you, and so you can go out there and have dinner with the boss, right?
Right.
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I have Linda Conklin around my table with me today. Now, Linda, in her day job, is the manager of alumni career services at UNC. And one of the things that intrigued me so much when I met with her, other than that I had all these visions that she was going to say, I know the perfect job for you, was we started talking about business etiquette. And she told me that she had taught some classes in dining room etiquette and stuff like that. So you provided me with this printout, and, you know, it is so in-depth. And it's pages. I mean, it's many pages.
It's only five.
Okay, five pages. I already know some of the things that I do wrong. I'm guilty of eating with my elbows on the table. But before we get into some of them, let me just ask, who decided that these were the right rules for our culture? You know, culturally,
right.
It's okay to burp in some countries and
slurp
and all kinds of stuff. Eat with your hands. How did these become America? Is it America's culture? Or?
Yeah, this is you, and that's a good point. This is, yes, U.S. culture, U.S. rules, American style of dining. I do introduce European or continental too, so that people are aware that there are different ways of different rules of eating.
Is there a big difference?
Oh yes.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
How long do we have?
Well, American. It has to do with your silverware, really, and in American dining, we generally start out with the knife in the right hand, the fork in the left. We cut, then we put the knife down. We transfer the fork over. We do it one bite at a time. They call it the zigzag method. And it's a lot of, and other people in other cultures think it's a big waste of time, but we don't even know we're doing it. That's the way we've learned it. Yes. But in continental, that's where you keep the knife in your right hand, the fork in your left, and it stays that way throughout the meal whenever you are using both utensils. So the tines of the fork stay down, and you cut one piece, and then you transport the food to your mouth with the fork, tines down. You don't transfer it to your other hand, to your right hand.
Oh, interesting.
So, and it's the knife and the fork are both in your hand throughout the meal, unless you're just eating something that only requires one.
So why sometimes now do you go into restaurants and see things set on the other side?
Well,
what is up with that?
Because a lot of people don't know the rules. The rules have evolved over time, and they really make a lot of sense. They're based on common sense. And the first rule of etiquette is to make the people around you comfortable, which mm-hmm. is why mm-hmm. we don't chew with our mouth open, or we don't shove big pieces of food in and that we can't eat, or that we, don't use our napkin for a handkerchief, or that, lots of things along the way. But generally, it's sort of been agreed upon, and they have evolved. I mean, I still remember seeing the movie Tom Jones years and years and years ago when they're sitting at this big banquet table, and the knife they were using was one they probably slaughtered the animal with in the beginning, and, just ripping food off the bones, and, just very gross. But we've come a long way from that. But a lot of those things have evolved over the centuries. And now we sort of have agreed upon rules. And the book I use is Letitia Baldridge's book of Executive Manners. And I found that's pretty comprehensive and still doable. It's not like doing the protocol dining or things like that. But back to why are the tables set certain ways. When you sit down at a meal and you see where the place setting is, that is really a signal to you of what you're having to eat. And it depends what you're having, the place setting changes. So if you're having soup, you'll have a soup spoon. If you're having fish, you'll have different knife and fork for that. They have little hooks on them.
Right.
And if you're eating American style, your small fork is your salad fork. It's on the outside. But if you're doing continental, they very often serve the salad after the entree. So your big fork would be on the outside and your smaller one would be inside.
That makes perfect sense.
Right. And if you're not having soup, you won't have a soup spoon. And if you're having pie a la mode, you'll have a knife and a fork and a spoon at the top of your plate, indicating you're going to need both for the dessert.
Well, so is asparagus a finger food?
Yes, it is.
Yay!
Yeah. However, that comes with a caveat. If it is slathered in butter or hollandaise sauce, probably not. But if it's a nice young, it's not, it's easy to pick up and eat, and it's not coated in something, yes, it is. And actually, if you have a cup of soup and you get down at the bottom it's in some cultures, it's okay to actually drink that
mm-hmm. up.
Yeah.
So typically, do you do a test? I mean, when you have a group of people and they come sit down, you say, okay, let's just test and see what you know. I mean, what's one of the worst things that you've...
Well,
I don't mean that. What's the... What would you say is the thing that more people do wrong?
Okay. Well, first of all, I do, when they sit down, I ask them, and usually I have, when I'm doing these dinners, there's about 100 to 150 people.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And where are they?
I generally do them at the Carolina Club because...
Well, if you can't behave there.
Yes. And they also help me out because they have the right linen, the right silverware mm-hmm. and things. So we do very often start out with just a sharing of what do you already know? And people do know a lot of things, but then things start to drop off and the finer points. And particularly because this is business etiquette, this is not about cotillion. The way I always say it, this is when you have to make that good first impression, for instance, in a job interview or where if you're meeting the prospective in-laws or you're taking clients out to lunch or to dinner. So that you will be comfortable and you will be able to concentrate on the business or the meeting at hand and not which fork to use. And so I really want our students to come out polished and mm-hmm. confident. And so that's not a concern. If they do end up having to go to the White House for dinner, that they will be comfortable and they will fit right in.
So is this just one course or is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how, so it's a full dinner.
It's a full dinner. It's usually a 4-course dinner.
And how much does that cost? And are you doing one this semester?
I do one every semester. The cost varies on how we're doing it and whether there's funding. A lot of, particularly the graduate schools, they will get sponsors to help mm-hmm. out with it. And we usually do it and we subsidize it for our student members. So they generally come for free.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So have you had one this semester already?
I have. I've had three of them already this semester. And I've got one coming up in a couple of weeks. That's going to be a luncheon rather than a dinner, but it's still the same sort of thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I bet that's really entertaining. So,
I try to make it entertaining. I think people are very intimidated by this whole idea of etiquette. And the way I present it is that it truly is about choices.
Well, we're going to have to go to break again. And when we come up, we're going to wrap up a little bit. It feels like I could just talk all day because, you know, I look at these and I see things I do wrong. I should never eat salad in public. I can't keep a piece of lettuce on my fork. It falls straight down all over my shirt, top, whatever.
Cherry tomatoes will get you.
Cherry tomatoes and balsamic vinaigrette. You are listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I am here today with Linda Conklin, who is manager of Alumni Career Services, and we are talking business etiquette. And we talked about a lot of stuff, and this is a short segment, so bullet points. What are the takeaways here?
Takeaways. Know the rules of etiquette because you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And if you don't know what you're doing wrong, if you don't know the rules, you won't know when you're doing wrong, which is why this class is so helpful because we go through the rules at least once. Sometimes you'll never have heard of these things and you'll think, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. So you really want to take charge of that impression and know what it is you're doing and know when to, you know, pull out all the stops and be perfectly polite and do all the things right. And, you know, if you go out with your friends and you want to have beer and pizza and whatever, yeah, you can choose what rules you use then. But know when it counts.
Wings are the worst.
Don't even order them. That's another takeaway. When you're in a situation where it really counts, don't order foods that are difficult to eat. So anything that has bones in it, anything with a splash factor like spaghetti sauce or, in your case, balsamic vinegar dressing or
shrimp where you have to peel it.
And, you know, yes, any of those things. The whole thing, again, is back to choice. The choice here is I want to make the best impression. I want to assure these people I know what I'm doing, that I can conduct myself properly in public. And so when you go out and you want to have the lobster tail with the bib and the peel of shrimp and all, that's fine. Do it on your own time. But when it really counts, know what to order. And don't order the most expensive thing or the least expensive thing. Kind of let your host be your guide. Know how
to. Typically, the host doesn't order first.
Well, that's where you say to them, you know, have you eaten here before? Is there anything you would suggest? Yes. And that gives you a sort of a price range. And don't order the surf and turf. That's going to be one of the most expensive things. And don't order 2 entrees. And don't order 2 desserts. And don't order a dessert and espresso because that's considered 2 desserts. And if you're really smart and someone offers you the wine list and you're the guest, defer to the host. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Yeah.
That happens to me a lot. I get past the wine list and I never, ever know the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I typically will try to err on the side of going toward the least expensive and let them say, oh, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. Let's try another one.
Yes. It's a hard thing. I generally try to put it back and say, you know, I know that you've been here before, and would you order?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But just being aware of the things that you may not know, again, how to hold your silverware, what to do with your napkin. If in doubt, you know, look around you. You know, be aware of the people around you. Kind of do what they're doing. With your silverware, you know, coming in from the outside in is always a fairly safe way to go if you everything else fails you. And just sort of knowing that, you know, which silverware. So, again, very simple. Right. The word right has five letters. So does spoon and knife and drink. So that's your right stuff. And on the left is four letters, L-E-F-T, fork and food, like your salad or your bread.
Oh, my gosh. That's I heard that on TV the other day.
Well, I have known it in a long time.
Oh, my gosh.
But anything that helps you to remember, because if you're at a table of 10 and you're really wedged in, I've had people eating my roll and someone else drinking my coffee and things like that. So you really want to know what belongs to you.
Well, how do you know?
Just exactly what I said.
But if they've already taken your roll and your coffee cup, who are you watching?
Well, you're trying to keep your stuff. And so if you start and you know where you – no, you don't have to corral it. But if somebody has eaten yours, you know, try to make it not a big deal.
Thank you so much. This has been really fun. Will you come back?
I will.
I want to hear about your spring class.
Okay.
Linda Conklin, thank you very much. You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
Thanks for listening to Side Dish. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Side Dish is an exclusive broadcast of News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.